Remaining standing, let's take our Bibles, turn them over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to start reading in verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You know, starting a new year off, you know that you want to get a fresh start. We want to talk about some things that are pertinent to where we're at in our Christian life. And today is no different, being the first Sunday of the year, and we're going to be talking about some things, I think, that are very near and dear to many of our hearts, and I do trust that if it's not, it will be at the conclusion of the service today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 is where we're going to start reading. And what you're dealing with here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is addressing the church there at Corinth on several different issues. This is a follow-up letter as well. Verses 1 through 9, he is instructing them on the assurance of the resurrection that they are going to be a part of if they're born again. Verses 10 through 13 detail basically the assurance of rewards if we've done what we should have done with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then in the closing verses 14 through 21, he's dealing with the assurance of reconciliation, how we have been reconciled to God. Then you and I ought to go ahead and make sure that others are reconciled to God as well by giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want you to pick up with me in verse number 17, where it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ." Everybody find your place, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Read with me down to from 17 to verse 21. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Amen. You know, looking back on our 15 years here at Shining Light Baptist Church, we're in our 15th year now. And it's hard to believe that, but back in September of 2001, when this church began, I started a series, and the series lasted about 12 months, detailing our new life in Christ as a Christian. Being a Christian is a brand new life and a brand new way of life. And I did that for two reasons. I wanted to, first of all, help recognize the need for salvation to those that didn't have salvation, but also I wanted others to recall what they went through when they first got saved so they could help some younger Christians out. And so we went ahead and went with that theme for about the first year that I was here at the Shining Light Baptist Church. And this really detailed a lot of different things about what we have, what we need in this new life. Starting off a new year, I thought it was very pertinent for us to kind of get back in touch with that. And so I wanted to touch on some of those topics that we began this church with many, many years ago, 15 years ago, if you would look at it that way, and recalling and recognizing some things that were new and that should be new and that may be new for some of us today. And let me just rattle off a couple of those topics, and then we'll get into the message here in just a moment. We talked about the recalling and recognizing the new need, the new birth, the new baptism, the new membership, the new nature, the new book, the new spirit, the new walk, the new enemies, the new communication, the new giving, the new vision, the new judgment, and the new home in heaven. And so I want to pretty much just kind of gloss over many of those. We may not get to all of them today because the first one is going to take a little bit of discussion, but I do trust it'll be a blessing to you today as we start this brand new year off, recalling some things that you already have a hold of, but then maybe today here you need to recognize some things that you don't have, and maybe you need to put those in place in this brand new year. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you once again for the word of God. Thank you that Paul has said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, he's a new creation. And as a result, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We're seeing things differently now because of the new spirit that's in us. And I pray that, Lord, as we look at the Word of God and we look at many different passages of Scripture today, that, Lord, whether we're recalling a need or recognizing a need, we might fall back in love with you. And, Lord, the simplicity in being a born-again, blood-washed believer of the Word of God and of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, many are not here today. We ask your blessings upon them, but many are here today. And Lord, we do pray that our ears would be open, our hearts would be tender, Lord, we might receive the engrafted word which is able to save our souls and to save us from much misery. Lord, we thank you again for meeting with us. Holy Spirit, take charge of this service. Have your will and your way with us. Oh, Lord, take the blinders off of our hearts that they may see with spiritual eyes, and that we might receive, Lord, exactly what you have for us today, that truly we might say it's been good to be in your house today, and we'd leave here different than the way we came in, rejoicing for a brand new year, and, Lord, more committed to do something great for you in 2016. Bless now in the song that we'll be saying and the message that we'll hear. May we receive it and do something with it today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson has our special today.
Come be redeemed, come be the Savior, the man who calmed the sea, the man who offers refuge to all who will believe, the man who died for sinners and set the captives free. This is my Savior, this is God's Son, He's calling to you, so just
Thank you, Mrs. Dawson. Come see a man, the woman at the well. Amen. I don't know about you, but I had to come see that man one day. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And as a result, I was born again. And I tell you, if you've met Jesus Christ, you've not been born again, you need to go see him again. Amen. Because he is the one that can do for you what you need to have done. Amen. Well, today in our text here, again, as I said, you know, we're looking back after, you know, being in the ministry 15 years here at the Shining Light Baptist Church, and some of the things that were foundational to the beginning of this ministry all started with 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, and that's recalling or recognizing some things that were new and that we should have experienced or that we needed to experience. And again, it was to twofold, to bring to our remembrance the things that we had already and to keep it fresh. You know, if you don't keep some things fresh, you tend to lose it and it tends to die out. Amen. And so it was to recall into those minds that were already born again what they had, then to recognize a need in lives of people that didn't have it. You know, not everybody that comes to church is saved. Did you know that? Not everybody that has a Bible is saved. Not everybody that says amen is a child of God. Amen. Not everyone that says hallelujah knows what it actually means. So we go on with the Word of God, and we see what God is going to do for us today. And I do trust that today will be a refresher to you as well as refreshing to you also. Notice in our text there, Paul, as he's writing to this church at Corinth, again, we said the first nine verses dealt with the assurance of resurrection. We will be resurrected if we're saved. Amen. Notice what it says in verse number 6. And therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Notice verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. So we know that we are going to be with the Lord eventually. We have the assurance of the resurrection. Then the assurance of rewards there. Notice verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And so God is going to give us some rewards based upon what we have done. And by the way, that bad there is not sinful bad. I'm not on, am I, brother? Sorry about that. That bad there is not sinful bad just means it's no use. It's no profit. It doesn't do you any good. So you want to make sure that in your Christian life you do some things that are profitable. And then in verses 14 through 21, he's dealing with the reconciliation ministry that we have been afforded by Christ and how Christ has died for us and given us the opportunity, and we ought to give that opportunity to others. But notice verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, the first question you have to ask yourself is, am I in Christ? Because he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If you're in Christ, the Bible says you're a new creature or a new creation. The word new there means to be fresh, to be reproduced or born again. We've got a new year. This is a brand new year. We've never lived it. It's never been here before. We know nothing about it. Some things are scheduled for it, but there's no guarantee that we'll see it. Amen. It's a new year. It's fresh. It's not been reproduced. That word new also means to be born again. Then it says old things are passed away. The word old means antique, not recent or worn out. Now you think about the new year. You go into a new year, you've got worn out clothes. It's time to throw those clothes out, amen. You got clothes that are torn in the knees. You've got stains. I've got one of my shirts that's stained up pretty bad. My wife said, okay, now this is going up into the the Hall of Fame. You can't wear this anymore. Don't be seen in public with this shirt anymore. And I said, well, can I still wear it around the house and this thing? And she said, well, yeah, but don't go out in public with that. I don't want anybody to see you with this shirt. And I've got some shirts that are stretched out in the neck. And my wife said, again, you cannot go out in public with these. These are old. These are worn out. Don't go out in public. But, you know, I had the shirt on. The public came to me. And she said, I can't believe you had that shirt on. When people saw you like that, you know it's worn out. It's stretched out in the neck. I said, well, I'm sorry. I love this shirt. I forgot that the public was coming to me. Amen. So there are some things like that that are old. They're worn out. And it's time to get rid of those things. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Certain things that we need to get rid of that are too short. They're too tight. They're too holy, maybe. Not talking about holy in a good sense. Holy in a bad sense. Think about our lives. Most of us came to Jesus Christ with our lives worn out by sin, torn up by sin, stained by sin, wrecked by sin, and many of us wasted by sin. And so it was in our best interest for God to do something new in us. And he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Notice he didn't say in the baptistry pool. He didn't say in the church. He didn't say a church member. He didn't say speaking in tongues. He didn't say doing good works. He didn't say in the Ten Commandments. He didn't say in Moses or Muhammad. He didn't say in Buddha. He said in Christ. There's a difference. Amen. Jesus Christ is the man, the Messiah, the Son of God who died for our sins and was buried and was risen again for our sins. And so if you're not in Christ, my friend, you're in trouble. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You say, well, preacher, I think I'm the same old creature. You're not in Christ then. I'm not going to apologize for that. Amen. You say, well, preacher, that's offensive to me. You're either in Christ or you're not. You're not halfway in Christ. Come on now. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You say, preacher, that's the way you started your church out. Yeah. Ran a whole lot of people off too. You know what they said? I'm not going to stand for that. You can't tell me I'm not saved. I'm not telling you. The Bible is. Because he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm not going to stay and listen to that type of preaching. I want smooth sayings. Okay. You're going to go to hell. Smoothly said. Although God loves you, you're going to go. Because you rejected his love. Is that smooth enough? Still not going to stay, preacher. Bible states in Christ we're new creatures or new creations. And for this Christmas, we did something special for our children. You say, you bought them a bunch of gifts. No, we didn't. We bought out a lot of the old gifts that they already had. And you know what we did? We took the old gifts out from boxes and storage, and we found the things that needed batteries. And we took the old batteries out, and we put new batteries in them. And guess what? The old toys was like Christmas to them all over again. So before Christmas even got there, they had Christmas with new toys that they hadn't played with in eons, it seemed like, because the batteries had died, and they put them on the shelf. And so they said, whoa. Look at all this new stuff. Now, it wasn't new. It just had new batteries. They were old toys. And these old toys with new batteries were, and they got a chance to play with these in their cars and these things and all these gadgets and all the batteries. The Bible says, just like the old toys with new batteries, we have a new spirit and an old body.
God's not going to change your body yet. He's going to put something in your body called the Holy Spirit of God. And so he's going to give you his new spirit in your old body. And just like those old toys that were out of use and out of circulation, with a new battery, they were back in use. You and I got saved. Guess what? It's like putting that new battery in that old body and doing some work for God now under new management. Amen. And our kids were excited that they had those new batteries and those old toys. We have a new spirit and an old body. Perhaps today you need to get back to some old things you need to do and recall or renew them. Maybe some things that you know that you used to do and the battery has died. You need a recharge from the Holy Spirit of God. You need God to renew your spirit today. Maybe some old things that you know you ought to do and just dead and died and not doing anything. And you need to say, God, I need to do that again. I need to be renewed. Get your new battery. Maybe today you may recognize your need for a new life. Let's take a brief look at recalling or recognizing the new. And for some of you, it's going to be recalling. And for some of you, it's going to be recognizing. The first point is recalling or recognizing the new need. And by the way, most of the time is going to be spent right here. You say, preacher, why? You just rattle off about 14 different things that were new. Yes. But this first one is crucial. First one is crucial. Recognizing or recalling the new. Realizing what we need and why. Do we need new life in Christ? What was wrong with the old life? Because that's often what's that. Well, what's wrong with the way I am? I look pretty good. And most of us will look in the mirror and say, we look pretty good. But God's not looking on the exterior. He's looking on the interior.
Yes, sir, he is.
Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Recalling or recognizing the new need. Hold your finger there. Matter of fact, well, you don't have to hold your finger there. We probably won't come back. Genesis chapter 2. Let's go back to Genesis. How many of y'all started your Bible reading back in Genesis this year? Amen. You would have come across this verse in Genesis chapter number 2. We're talking about recalling or recognizing the new need. Genesis chapter 2, and you know the story. Most of us can recall this story. In Genesis chapter number 2, God has made the man and has made everything very, very good and has placed man in the garden. And he's given the man a command here in verse number 16. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Notice verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely, what's that word? Die. Thou shalt surely die. Recalling or recognizing the new need. Of course, you know the story. They did eat of that fruit and they did die spiritually. And they began to die physically. If you have a terminal disease, you know you need immediate help outside of yourself. If there's help or if there's a cure, you want it. I believe many people today don't get saved because they don't understand or see their need for Christ. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I believe many people, if they knew they had this disease called sin, they would seek the Savior to get some help for it. They'd seek the Savior to get a cure. If they knew it was killing them and taking them to a Christless eternity, I believe that many people would get saved, but I'm afraid that many people don't understand their need. Amen. Oftentimes, it's not until it's too late. I believe many people don't get saved because they don't understand or see their need for Christ. They can't see a need for the good news of the gospel if they don't understand the bad news that they already have. Can I get amen? It's hard for me to want the gospel's good news if I don't really understand I've already got bad news. I got to see that I'm in trouble before I get out of trouble. Many don't see the immediate consequences for sin, so they don't see a need to be saved. And consequently, it's God's Holy Spirit that brings a person to understand their need by the Word of God. And if I don't get confronted with the Word of God, I'm not going to get saved.
Amen, Pastor.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now you think about it. If you and I have something so good called salvation, why doesn't everybody have what we have? Why doesn't everybody want what we have? It's because they don't see that they need what you have. You got to see. What is all of the advertisements on television about? To make you feel a need. That's what they're there. I mean, you turn on the cartoon channel and they've got the all the Transformers out there and all the Legos out there and all this and all that and all these cereals out there. And buy this cereal. It tastes great. It's got this prize. It's got this. And they want to put within a child a need. Although it's not a need. It's just a want and a desire. And then the child goes to the mom. Mom, I need to get the corn puffs or I need to get this or that. You know, I've never seen them selling corn puffs or, you know, one of those cereals without sugar. It's always the ones that have the sugar to make your children more hyper. You notice that? I haven't seen an advertisement for corn flakes. Now, frosted flakes I've seen. I've not seen one for shredded wheat. Now, the ones with the sweet stuff on, I've seen that. I've never seen those commercials where the cereal that children just don't like, they put them out there. Everything that's got sugar in it because they know that's going to attract the children. And so it is with mankind. Mankind doesn't see his need to be born again. If he doesn't see the need for the new life, if he doesn't see there's something wrong with the old life, he's not going to want the new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? A new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So we see here in Genesis that he said, the day you eat of that fruit, you're going to die. We know that they did. And we're sinners by nature and sinners by choice. Say, preacher, I do what I want to do. I rest my case. Sinners by nature and sinners by choice. We were born in sin. And so sin is normal for us. We have difficulty not sinning. Furthermore, many see nothing wrong with sin for the most part, so long as they don't get caught. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Most folks don't have a problem with sin. Not unless I get caught. Now, if I get caught, I got a big problem with that. Now I got to go to jail. Now something adverse is going to happen to me. So what am I saying? If I don't recall or recognize my need, the rest of what I'm going to say is moot. Matters not. Sadly, most don't recognize that sin has eternal consequences and a big price tag. All the while, we're headed for death because of sin. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. By the way, that one man was Adam. And death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. You know, we have cemeteries because people die. And people die because of sin. Sin brings death. Wages of sin is death. But yet and still, people don't recognize that they're sinners. Why don't they recognize they're sinners? Because they haven't been face to face with the Word of God. Word of God, if the Word of God doesn't convince somebody they're a sinner, nothing can. But I've got something that can come close to that, and that is this thing called death. Because the Bible says the wage of sin is death. God told Adam, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There's a cemetery almost in every city. Why? Because people die. And God said that man was going to die from the beginning. What am I saying to you? That unless I recognize or recall my need, I'm not going to get saved. And I believe that's why the average person does not get saved. Some others don't get saved because they don't want to give up their sin, even though it's killing them. Amen. Then you need last Wednesday's message. Let it go. Amen. Let it go. Faith recently got into some trouble. She was trying to imitate her mother. And she put on some lipstick to be like mom. And so she went in the bathroom and she put on this lipstick. And I guess it must have looked crazy to her because she tried to wipe it off. And when she tried to wipe it off, I guess she thought the evidence was gone. Because then she came out and went over close to G2. And G2 said what any brother would say to a sister that comes with got smeared makeup all over your face. Ugh! And Faith is like, why? And then I look at faith. Y'all know what I'm saying. I looked at it. And lo and behold, there it was. The problem was she came out of the bathroom thinking she had got it all off, and she didn't realize it was still there. You know, and that's how sin is. That's exactly how sin is. We do something and we think that we can get it all off by this or that or the other. What happened? Faith did not know how to properly get the lipstick off, so she smeared it in. Now it was in her pores and could easily be seen on her skin, even though she tried to get it off. She smeared it in, and so she didn't notice she has these little pockets called cells, and these cells have pores, and so some makeup went in there. And so we could see all around her mouth lipstick. Not to mention the fact when she did it like this, she touched things in the bathroom, so we could see the evidence. I saw evidence all over the place. It was on the lipstick. It was on the counter. It was on everything that she had touched. And so as a result, Faith came out and she was busted. It was in her pores. It was in her skin. Without the mirror of God's word, you and I cannot see our reflection just like Faith. And we can't see how bad spiritually we are. We can't see that the wages of sin truly is death. We die. We know we're going to die, but we don't know why we die. We die because of sin. Man still doesn't want to come up to come face to face with the fact that we die because of sin. Even though God said it way in the beginning, men still die. And there's two things that man can't do. He can't stop sinning and he can't stop dying. But God said it was going to happen. That's how we are as sinners. We have sin, but we try to wipe it off by religion and religious works. The sin is smeared and blurred, but guess what? It's still there. It's in our pores. It's down to the core of our souls. We can't get sin out or off. The only way to get rid of sin is by giving our life. The problem is we only have one life to give, and the problem with that is our life is tainted and it requires a pure sacrificial life, which we have neither of the two. So the only thing left then is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. See, God knows that we have a need. And God wants us to recognize that need and then call on Jesus Christ to be saved, because therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But if I don't see the need, guess what? I might as well pack up and go home. And I believe many people don't get saved because they refuse to see their need, or no one ever helped them to see their need. If it wasn't for Rod Branch back in 1990 giving me the gospel, I wouldn't have seen my need. I was raised in a religious home. I went to church. I went to a Catholic school. I knew about God. I knew about all the things that was required, but I didn't know God. Although I knew all the things about God, I didn't know God. I was religious. I was smearing my lipstick, if you would. Trying to think, well, nobody really sees my sin. But guess what? It was in my pores down to the core of my soul. And the only way that I was able to really realize or recognize my need, somebody had to hit me right between the eyes with the word of God. And then the Spirit of God, coupled with the Word of God that I was given, helped me to realize my need. Amen. Once I realized my need, I could call on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, because I knew I was going to go to hell one day. But I knew that God loved me. There was a God in heaven that loved me, that sent his Son to die for my sins. He was crucified for my sins. He was buried for my sins. He was risen for my sins. Hey, friend, let me tell you something. If you don't personalize it, it's still not yours. That's good. Amen. Recognizing or realizing our need. One thing about sin is that if you don't get saved, you're just smearing it. You're just smearing it. And may I introduce something to you? There is no salvation just because you read the Bible. There is no salvation just because you have a Bible. There's no salvation just because you come to church. There's no salvation just because your parents were spiritual. There's no salvation just because your uncle or your daddy or somebody else was a preacher. There's no salvation other than the fact that you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, repenting of sin, turning to Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, I don't believe that. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. What am I saying? The majority of people miss this because they really don't see their need. Jesus speaking to a group of religious people. John chapter 5. Notice verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given to the Son, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And notice verse number 37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Ye have not his word abiding in you. He's speaking to the religious crowd. For whom he hath sent him, ye believe not. Notice verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have what? Eternal life, and they are they which testify me. You know what Jesus is saying in essence? He says, you know what? You religious crowds, you've got the word of God. You say you're believing the word of God. You say you're doing the word of God. He said, that ain't going to save you. That's just bringing you to where you need to be to get you saved. He says, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. He said, they are they which testify of me. He said, all what you're reading is to bring you to the place where you can get saved. This book is not going to save you. Jesus Christ shed blood will save you. And it just happens to be in this book. And if you read it and heed it and do what it says, guess what? Then you will have the new life. And I'm afraid that many people have not been involved with the new need because they never saw their need. I hate to say it, but in churches all around America and all around the world, they're filled with religious people that are not saved because they never saw their need. Oh, yeah, they know how to tithe. Oh, yeah, they know how to give. Oh, yeah, they know how to come to church. Oh, yeah, they know how to read their Bible. Oh, yeah, they can sing. Oh, yeah, they know a whole lot of things, but they're not saved. They're not saved. How else can you account for all the foolishness that goes on in the church? Because if I'm saved, I should have the Spirit of God. I should be a new creature in Christ. My old things should be passed away. All things should become new. How else can you explain it? Amen. Many people aren't saved. It's not popular today, but it's true. It's true. Well, the only way to get rid of sin is Jesus Christ. Go to Romans chapter 5. Recalling or recognizing a new need. Say, preacher, now I see why your church didn't grow, man. Preaching like that, I'd have left too. Romans chapter 5, of course, we've already been acquainted with verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that one man is Adam. And death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Then come down to verse number 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Well, let's just read it all, amen. 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. And basically what that's saying is, you know, until the law of Moses came, you know, sin was there, but it really wasn't imputed because there was nothing to say that was against the law. But guess what? People still died. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who's the figure of him that was to come. He said, you know what? Even though we didn't do what Adam did, we still died. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, which is Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man who, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. He said, you know what? You can go one way or the other. In Adam, you're going to die. In Christ, you get this free gift. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that's Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That's where we used to be. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Amen. May I add, all that repent and believe. You don't repent and believe and receive, guess what? You don't have it. Amen. But it says all that believe. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. So in other words, he said the law came in so that folks could see that sin was exceeding sinful and that they could not keep the law, and by default, they're sinners.
Amen.
And that's why it came in. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. He said you can't out-sin God's grace. There's no sin that you can commit that God's grace can't cover. Amen. I don't care if you're the worst of the worst of the filthiest of whoever. Guess what? God's grace is still able to save you.
Amen.
That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So folks, the first stop is recognizing or realizing the new need, recalling that. And if you're saved here today, you know what I'm talking about. You used to be there. You used to be in Adam. You used to be on your way to hell. You were enemies to the gospel. You were aliens to God. You were foreigners to doing righteousness. But guess what? When you got saved, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And so if anybody else should understand the ministry of reconciliation, it's you and I. We understand why they're there. We understand what they're going through. We understand what they need. And it's our job to help them to recognize their need. They don't need this church. They don't need anything other than Jesus Christ. Now, if getting them to church will help them to hear Jesus, so be it. Amen. Praise God. But guess what? This church can't save them. This preacher can't save them. You can't save them. The only thing that can save them is Jesus Christ. They've got to see their new need. Well, preacher, what else did you guys talk about that first year? Well, once we talked about recognizing a new need, we talked about recalling and recognizing new birth. I got to be born again. It's one thing to see it. Another thing to do something about it. Notice John chapter number 3. John chapter 3, recalling or recognizing a new birth. What does it mean to be born again? Have you been born again? Are you sure? You ask somebody, have you been born again? They say, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Now, some may just be ignorant to the terminology. In all fairness, some may be ignorant. They may not be in a Bible preaching, a Bible teaching church. And I understand that. I'll cut them that slack.
Amen.
But they should know that I was passed from death unto life.
Amen.
There should have been a before and there should have been an after. There should have been a once I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. I did not believe, but now I have received. There should be a difference. There should be something. Amen. Recalling and recognizing new birth. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Of course, you know the story. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and talks about all the miracles. And then he couldn't do that except God is with him. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He said, you know, unless you have been born first physically and then born second from above, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't, you're not going to get there. And he begins to detail to Nicodemus what that all entails, bringing him face to face with Moses and the serpent being lifted up in the wilderness, coming up to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Recalling or recognizing the new birth. He begins to tell Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you know what? Something needs to happen in your life, and you need to be born again. You need to be born from above. If you're not born from above, Nicodemus, you are not going to make it. By the way, I can have the Word of God presented to me in such a way where I can recognize my need. And I can have it in such a way where I recognize I need the new birth. But having the need and seeing the new birth and doing something about it is totally different. I can be in a hotel room and the hotel room can be on fire and I can be standing on the inside and I can look at the door and see as plain as day, this is the fire escape, this is the fire route. My friend, if I don't do something and go outside this door, I will stay inside the building and I will burn to death. What am I saying? Many people recall their need. They know they need to be saved. They understand there's a new birth that needs to take place in their life. But my friend, if I don't do something about it, just having head knowledge is not going to help you. You got to have a heart knowledge. You got to do something. You got to go out that door. You got to go outside the fire escape and follow the plan of God. The plan of God is through the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. That's his plan. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What's the fire plan there for? To help someone in case of a fire. May I tell you, ain't no such thing as in case of a fire. There's going to be a fire. So you can scratch that. Ain't no in case of fire. There will be a fire. This earth is going to be destroyed by fire the way we know it and today. And guess what? Everybody that's not born again is going to be burned by fire too. The only difference is it's an eternal fire, and you're going to have an eternal body, and you'll eternally burn forever and ever, but not burn up. Now, figure that one out. Say, preacher, it can't happen. Yes, it did. Moses had the burning bush that was on fire, didn't burn up. Amen. The rich man in hell was the same way. So recalling and recognizing the new need, then recalling and recognizing new birth, I must be born again. But then recalling and recognizing new baptism. After I'm born again, I should be baptized. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Once a person has been born again, they should immediately be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As quickly as possible. Amen. And then what else did we talk about, preacher? The new need went into the new birth, which went into the new baptism, which went into the new membership, recalling or recognizing the new membership. I should join a local New Testament church following my baptism. Every child of God should be baptized and a faithful member and supporter of their local church. He still says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's the natural progression. You follow the New Testament. These folks got saved. They saw their need. They got the born again. They saw the new birth. Amen. They got baptized. They got into church. And you find them learning the word of God and starting other churches. That's the way it happens. We're so anemic in America today. I mean, just trying to get somebody baptized is like an act of Congress. Trying to get them to pass a new bill or trying to do something about the border. Amen. It's an act of Congress to get folks to get baptized nowadays. Some folks beating down the doors. But most Americans are so anemic. We need to get baptized. Oh, what's that about? It's about following God. It's about being dead to yourself, buried, and alive unto God. Likewise, reckon yourselves also be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. It's an act of Congress nowadays to get folks to get baptized. When the Bible clearly says what it says, what am I saying? Recalling and recognizing the new baptism, the new membership, getting involved in God's house, amen. By the way, for the child of God, let me say this, it should not be an option, it should be a mandate. Hey, when you join a club, normally it's a mandate for you to be there. Hey, this is the club of clubs. This is God's club. Amen. And no he-men, women-haters here, amen. This is the club. Everybody's involved. Hey, and then from the new birth, the new need to the new birth, to the new baptism, the new membership, recalling or recognizing the new nature, the struggle within, the spirit versus the self. I don't know about you, but as soon as I got saved, I knew there was something different about my life. There was something changed in me. My wants had changed just like that. You say, my wants didn't change just like that. Mine sure did. I got saved, and I went home, and I saw that liquor in my refrigerator, and I thought, I start salivating. But then something said, you know you shouldn't do that. Where'd that come from? And as I went to go reach for it, something said, didn't you just choose Christ? And I said, what happened? And I grabbed it, and it kept saying, and I'm like, well, what is going on? And as I went to screw that cap off, and I'm thinking, what's going on? Uh-oh. I felt about as low as a snake in a rut. I felt so low, and I said, well, maybe I'll drink again, I'll feel better. I must have went through about 12. And I felt worse than I did when I took the first one. And I said, whoa, stop the presses. I've done this all my life pretty much, and I always had fun in this, and I don't have fun. What's wrong? The struggle within. The self versus spirit. Let me tell you something. Child of God, if you haven't gotten baptized, you're not going to get the victory over that. If you're not in the house of God around some godly people and some Christians, you're not going to get the victory over that. If you're not in the place where you can get involved with people's lives and that struggle within and talk about it, you're not going to last long. Upon salvation, we get the Holy Spirit and His nature. However, the old nature still lives there too. One will be stronger, the spirit or the self. One that you feed the most will be the strongest. That's why baptism and church membership are so important. Galatians 5:17 says it this way, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And you know what? When you first get saved, you don't get baptized and get into a good church and start growing in Christ. You're not going to understand that struggle. You're going to think you're actually a lunatic. I was like, what is wrong with me? A curse word slipped out of my mouth, and I began to apologize. I'd never apologized for cursing before. Like, if you hear it, so be it. Tough. Now, if my mother heard it, then of course I would say something, because she would pull my ear and spank my bottom. You say, even as an adult? Even as an adult. Yeah, you know, she would wash it out with something far worse than soap. What am I saying? Recalling and recognizing the new nature. Then from that, recalling or recognizing the new book, God's personal love letter, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable doctrine for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished into all good works. The Bible is there, God's love letter for teaching, for warning, for correcting, for instructing you. Much like you would give your children instructions, God gives His children instructions. And much like you want your children to obey your instructions, God wants you to obey His instructions. Amen. Hey, parents, don't give out instructions to children just to hear themselves talk. Well, I just want to hear myself talk. Charlie Brown. No. I'm talking for a reason. God says, hey, I gave you a love letter for a reason. I love you, and I'm trying to get you from hurting yourself. Because there are things out there in that world that will hurt yourself. There are things that you desire to do that will hurt you. There are things that you see that will hurt you. There are things that you will hear that will hurt you. There are places that you will go that will hurt you. There are things that you will touch will hurt you. And my love letter is going to keep you away from all that. Why? You're on your way to the kingdom of God. And I don't want you to make a mess out of your life getting there. By the way, the less mess that you make of your life, the more people you can direct to there. Amen. Hey, if you're in a mess, how are you going to help somebody else in a mess? They look at your mess, say, your mess no better than my mess. So how are you going to help me in my mess? Amen. I'm just saying. What am I saying? Recalling and recognizing things that were new. The new birth, the new need, the new birth. The new baptism, new membership. The new book, the Word of God. By the way, if what you do with the Bible, it's what you do with our Bible that counts when you read it, the new book. If you don't have one and if you don't do something with it, it's not going to help you. Recalling and recognizing the new spirit, God's internal guidance for daily living. John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 16:13 says it this way. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that He shall speak, and He will show you things to come. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14, are the sons of God. And I'm going to quit with this one, recognizing, recalling the new walk. You know, when you get saved, God didn't want you to walk the same way you used to walk. Go in the book of Ephesians. We're going to close with this one. Book of Ephesians. What am I saying? These are all things that as we go into a new year, I need to recall these things that I have done in the past and keep doing them or help someone else with them. Or maybe I need to make sure that somebody else recognizes what I recognize. And by the way, don't expect Joy Wilkerson to start walking tomorrow. Why am I saying that? Sometimes a baby Christian will get saved. We expect them to be jogging a marathon. Now, Brother Wilkins, when do you expect she's going to walk? 8 months to a year. Now, guess what? She might walk sooner. She might walk later. Is he going to throw away because she doesn't start walking sooner? I don't think so. God doesn't throw his children away because they don't start walking early either. He doesn't throw away when they start walking late. What am I saying? You and I got to be patient with little babies. Baby Christians get saved. I remember we started discipling Takesha and Aaron. And Aaron was telling me some stuff, and I'm like, amen, amen, amen. And he was talking about tithing, and his wife was over there like, we need to tithe. And Aaron's like, let's just give. Takesha's like, we need to tithe. Aaron's like, But Aaron started tithing. Aaron said, man, why didn't I do this sooner? Glory to God. Let's give some more. He got excited about that thing. Now, I could have easily said, bless God, your wife is right. Start tithing right now. You know, that would have got about that far. Discipleship would have been over. Now, does the Bible say that he should tithe? Yes, it does. But guess what? Like Joy, he can't walk yet. I got to wait until he catches up. And I put the word of God out there and say, by the time we went over tithing, guess what? He was ready. He was ready. Ephesians chapter number 4. The new walk that we should have, recalling the new walk. Notice Ephesians 4 verse 1. By the way, attitudes and actions should be played out in our life, and they should be played out in what we do. Verse 1 says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Notice that he says, walk worthy of the vocation. What's our vocation? Christ. Christ-like Christians, Christ-like ones, amen. Notice verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. What kind of walk is that? Not doing this that I did as soon as I got saved. But guess what? I didn't have anybody come to my house and beat me up and tell me to throw away my liquor. You know who throw away my liquor? Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God. My wife said, what are you doing? I said, I'm drinking. What does it look like I'm doing? She said, you're going to kill yourself. I'm like, well, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Guess what? God quickly beat me. He said, you may be saved and you're on your way to heaven, but I don't want you coming inebriated. That's for sure. Amen. And he got it out of me. Notice down there in chapter 5, verse 2, but be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. You know, when we get saved, we should walk in love. We should be more loving to other people. Amen. Verse 8, he says down there, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You should light up everybody around you. They should see you come and dispel their darkness. You should radiate with God's love. You should beam with the glow of Jesus Christ. People around you should see there's something different from you than everybody else. Amen. Amen. At your jobs, they should see it. In your schools, they should see it. In the community, they should see it. Everywhere you go, they should see it. Verse number 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. He said, be careful. Watch out for some things. Be careful. Some things may not appear what they seem to be. I'm talking wolves in sheep clothing. You know, when I first got saved, I went and told everybody. You know, and some people told me, I'm saved too. Now you need to learn to speak in tongues. I said, really? They said, yeah. I said, how you do it? They said, well, I think it's done like this. And I thought, that don't sound right to me. We told some other, we got saved. They said, really? You know what? Do you want to be married in heaven? You can have spiritual babies and have your own planet. I thought, I don't remember reading that part in the Bible. Oh, it's not in the Bible, but certain parts of it is. And I thought, now I'm not saying that the Mormons are wrong or anything like that, but the Bible is right, and that's not in there. I met all sorts of folks, and so as I was walking, I had to walk circumspect. And so, folks, these are just several of the things that we need to recall that at one point they were new. Maybe we need to recharge some of these things. Maybe we need to recognize some things with some younger Christians. Maybe we need to realize even in our own walk, there's some work that we need to do. And I haven't even mentioned about the new enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. I didn't talk about the new communication, our instant access to God in prayer through Jesus Christ. I hadn't even talked about the new giving that we should have with our tithing and our offerings, one you owe, one you offer, or the new vision, our soul winning, or the new judgment that's coming, amen, with the great white throne, judgment for others and the judgment seat of Christ for Christians, and recognizing the new home in heaven, what heaven's like. I ain't even talked about that. But you know what? This is a new year. Let's recall some things that we know at one time it was new to us. It was fresh to us. And we enjoyed it. It was exciting. It wasn't old. It wasn't worn out. It wasn't something tattered. It wasn't frayed. It was brand new. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. I can talk to God. I have His word. I've got His spirit. Yes, there's a struggle. Yes, there's a world. There's a flesh. Yes, there's a devil. But I've got God. I've got God. This is a new year. We need to get back to some things that we know. The world needs to know. They need to be born again. They need this birth. They need baptism. They need church membership. They need those things. But it all starts with a new need. Recognizing their need. And they will not see their need without you and I sharing the gospel with them. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for them. He loved them. He was crucified, buried, and risen again for them. Folks, if somebody hadn't shared that with me, I would still be religious. I would still be smearing my lipstick all over, thinking that I'm okay. I'm okay. Nobody can't see it, but God sees the heart. How's your heart today? Is it smeared? Are you trying to wipe your sin off? What can take away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If you've not done that today, my friend, you need this new need. Face to face with Jesus Christ and how He died for you because He loves you. How God gave heaven's best for you. Let's fall back in love with those things that should be new and keep them fresh this year. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and we're looking around. I don't know about you, but maybe today you would say, I've got this need, preacher. I need to be born again. I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? A man, woman, boy, or girl all across this auditorium, my heads are bowed and my eyes are closed. You'd raise your hand saying, preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. I know about the gospel. I've read the gospel. I know Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. But I can't say that I have a point and a place in time when I've received Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me, preacher? Anyone like that at all? You raise your hand saying, pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure that I'm a born-again Christian. I'm not sure. I've got some doubts. Pray for me. Pray for me. How about this? Have you had that new baptism after your new birth then? Remember this new local church, new membership? Are you involved in the new nature, the struggle that you have, the new book that you should be reading, the new spirit that's in you should be directing you, the new walk that you should have, the new enemies that you know you have, the new communication you should be involved in, the new giving? Maybe you're struggling in one of those areas and maybe you need to come and say, Lord, I want to get that area down in my life, that next step that I need to take. If you're born again, you should be baptized. If you're baptized, you should be a member of the church. Member of the church, you should be in the book, getting discipled. You should be recognizing the new guidance of the Spirit. You should be walking in a newness of life. Where are you at today? How many would be honest and you'd raise your hand saying, preacher, there's an area that God spoke to my heart, whether it's recalling something that you should be doing or recognizing what you need to do. You'd raise your hand and say, preacher, I've recognized some things. I've recalled some things this morning. I want to keep it fresh. I want to keep it new. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. And folks, we should. We should. Why don't you start this new year off right? There's an old-fashioned altar. You can come down here and kneel and say, Lord, I want to keep this area and my Christian walk new and fresh. Or maybe you need to come down and say, Lord, I've recognized that I don't have this area in my life and I want to get it taken care of. Lord, help me to get it taken care of immediately, whether it's baptism, salvation, church membership, whatever it is. Father, bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Say, preacher, I want to get some things renewed. Lord, I want to get that new need. And others need the gospel. I want to help them understand that new birth. They need to be saved. That new membership, I want to be that type of member that's going to help others get involved. That new struggle within, I want to help people that are struggling with the spirit and the flesh. Maybe it's getting involved in that book, the Bible, God's Word. It's not going to do any good if you don't read it and heed it. Maybe you say, I need to read it a little bit more. It needs to be fresh to me. It needs to be new to me. Maybe about the new spirit. I need to give God's spirit more liberty in my life. Letting Him guide me eternally. Maybe that new walk. I need to walk more like a Christian, less like the world. Maybe it's the new enemies. I've got to recognize the world's not my friend. Flesh is not my friend. The devil's not my friend. They're traps and tricks that they pull to lure me in. The world is anything that attracts me away from the will of God. My flesh is selfishness, self-driven desires, self-destructive things. Maybe about the new communication, I need to pray a little bit more to God this year. It needs to be fresh. I need to go to Him for everything, not just some things, but everything. Maybe about the new giving, I need to be a tither. I need to give God 10%. Then trust Him for the 90% as well. Maybe it's recognizing the new judgment. I'm no longer going to be seated at the judgment throne of God. It's the judgment seat of Christ. The great white throne is for those that are lost. How about it? Lord, I'm coming home. Brand new year. Brand new year. How are you going to start it off?
I'm tired of sin.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things become new. What do I need to make new?
I'll trust thy love.
How about it, Christian? What's your next step? What do you need to do? Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home.
Coming
home. Never more to roam.
Open my
have Brother Wilbur sing one more stanza, then we'll close. One more stanza. If God spoke in your heart, maybe you need to come. What has God spoken to your heart about these being new? Recall it again and say, that's what I need to do.
My soul is sick.
How about it? You need to be saved today.
Is
new life in Christ. Brand new.
Coming
home.
My
strength. My life was worn out, torn up, stained, wrecked by sin, wasted by sin, but God gave me new life in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's fresh, he's reproduced, he's born again. A new spirit in an old body. Coming home, one day we'll be going home. God's got a mansion. He said, I go to prepare for you. That where I am, there you may be also. Open wide. I'm coming home.
Lord, I'm coming home.
Father, thank you once again for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for the many things that we can see in Scripture, Lord. And all of these were just highlights of things that we spoke on many years ago, but Lord, things that we constantly revisit on a regular basis. And Lord, I pray that if there's one today that had not recognized their need to be born again before they came through these doors, that God, they won't leave here the way they came in, they would recognize that need, but not only recognize that new need to be born again, but Lord, they would become born again. They would repent of their sins. They would turn to Christ to save them. Lord, once we recognize the terminal illness that we have based upon sin and the end result of is death and hell, Lord, then we can truly call upon you to save us, because that's what you do, and you do it so marvelously. And Lord, we can be saved to the uttermost. And so, Lord, we thank you for that ability that we have and for that one that needs to trust you. Lord, then that those that maybe have trusted you, Lord, maybe they need to go a little step further, get baptized, become a member, start praying, start doing all the things that go along with this life of being a Christian, understanding the struggle within, going through discipleship, Lord, being under the tutelage of someone else that has walked before in this Christian life. And help us that have been saved, Lord, to recall what we went through. Lord, not to be so judgmental, but give these young Christians time to grow and understand that you're working in their lives, and we didn't save them, and we can't grow them. Lord, it's from your word, and you've got to do that. But Lord, help us to encourage them and be behind them in their corner to cheer them on, help pick them up when they fall and point them in the right direction, recalling what we ourselves have gone through along this journey called the new life in Christ. Lord, you said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. We're born again. You said the old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. The more our eyes are open to what we see, the more we can learn about you, and the things of God become newer to us with each passing moment that the Spirit gives us vision, spiritually speaking. Help us now, Lord, to charge into this new year with anticipation, with excitement. And Lord, seeing what you're going to do at the Shining Light Baptist Church in each individual life here. Lord, we know we'll have some setbacks, we'll have some turbulent times, we'll have some stressful times, but we still have a God in heaven that loves us and gave heaven's best for us. We have that new communication. We can talk to you directly, or as we confess our sins to you. Thank you again for loving us, Lord. Meet the need that we have. Bless our activities in the afternoon, and we'll praise you for your goodness in our lives. And Lord, we await to see what you're going to unfold for us in 2016. Max, Brother Hall, will come and dismiss us in a word of prayer. And folks, don't forget that there is no service tonight. Drive safe, and we'll see you back on Wednesday at 6 p.m.